Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Sometimes I climb so far, only to backslide. Lord, I may be sliding back, but I will not abandon you.
I really want to exhort all of you from my heart and from the Holy Spirit that I want you to really live a full Christian life. Very simple. I want to really beg all of you to love Jesus with all your heart and do everything to please the Lord. You know, to please the Lord is very easy. It's to obey Him. Is to obey what He says. The Lord Jesus said in the book of John that if you love me, you shall obey my word. And I and my Father will come to you. And then He will reveal Himself to you. I want to really encourage all of you to really have a personal relationship with Christ. That you are not here just for religion or for just fulfill your religious ceremony or tradition, but you really love Jesus. You talk to Jesus every day. You talk to God every day, and you really live a life of obedience to Him. And to obey God is so simple. It's to love people and love His church. I want to encourage all of you to love His church. You know, the church is the body of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. If you love His body, you love Him. All these 20-something years now that I have been a Christian, I make a decision to love the Lord Jesus Christ and I love His church. In fact, the reason I went to Thailand because I love the churches there. I want to bless them. I want to use my gift to bless all the churches. I don't look at the denomination anymore. I don't look at the Presbyterian, Baptist, I don't care anymore. I look at all the Christians, my brother and sister, and they are the Church of Jesus Christ. But in this city, we have a local church. I want to encourage you to be really committed to a local church and really serve the Lord in that local church. Think about this. Our life is so short here. We live in this world relatively compared to eternity is so short. Eternity is so long. We live here maybe 70 years, 80 years, 90 years. One day we will be gone. Whatever you build up on earth here, your homes, your cars, your bank account, your pension plan, whatever you build up here will not last that long. And you cannot take it with you. But the only thing that you're going to reap for eternity is to live your life for the kingdom of God. So I want you to really make a decision to commit yourself to build the kingdom of God and live for the kingdom of God. Get involved in serving. Get involved in building the kingdom, building the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God that God does not just ask you to do that, but He will equip you and He will empower you and anoint you to do the job. And your life shall be fulfilled. And one day when you go to heaven, you shall say, God, thank you. Thank my pastor that he encouraged me to do that, to live my life for the kingdom of God. Anytime you sin, repent as soon as possible. Amen. Please the Lord with all your heart. Live your life that is pleasing to the Lord. We all sin against God sometime, but we should repent very quickly. And we should not make the Holy Spirit feel grievous inside his heart. We should make him smile and happy. Amen. We should not have the, we call, consumer mentality that I will be here and what the church gonna bless me, what the church will do for me. In fact, it should be opposite. We should be the bodybuilder. We should build the house of God. We should get involved and really give our time, our energy, everything to build the house of God. We should be bodybuilder. Amen. Get involved. Love the church. You know, you make decisions. You wake up every morning. I will love Jesus. You say, I'm going to love my wife. And I love his church. And I'm going to be the builder. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to pull out my heart, my life to build. I'm going to stay positive toward the church. Stay positive toward brother and sister. I will do anything to make Jesus happy. You know what? Because this will impact you for eternity. When you go to heaven one day, what you do for a few years here on earth will impact you for eternity. Amen? Hallelujah. I just feel that I need to exhort you to do that and to really pull up your sleeve and get involved and don't waste your time. Every one of you has something to offer, to contribute to the kingdom of God. Believe me, every one of you can contribute something. Every one of you can offer something. God has put so many good things into your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Therefore, please really get involved and love the Lord Jesus Christ. How many people love the Lord Jesus in this room? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be in a hurry to preach my message. I need to say whatever Holy Spirit wants me to say to the church. Because the whole point is not just giving you the message and to give you the knowledge, but I want you to really have the right heart. Amen. To serve the Lord and love the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about impartation. We learn about laying on of hands. The laying on of hands is about impartation. Impartation of something from heaven into our life. God uses this ordinance to bless his people. Everyone say bless. How many people want to be blessed? Amen. God used the laying on of hands to be a channel of bringing different kinds of blessing into our life. Therefore, we should understand and we should practice the laying on of hands. I'm going to read some Old Testament scripture here to show you that there is an impartation when we lay hand. In the Old Testament, because before Jesus was born, they depend on sacrificing animals to bring atonement or bring salvation to the community. I give you example in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 4. I just want to show you that laying on of hand is about impartation. Then he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make atonement for him. You can see here that the Jewish priest lay hand on the sacrificial animal or the offering to impart sin into that animal and to receive righteousness from God. So there is impartation back and forth, go out and received by the laying on of hand. In fact, at that time, God commanded the children of Israel that if a community or a congregation sin against God, the elders of that community have the right to lay hand on the offering animal on behalf of the whole congregation to impart sin of that congregation into the animal for atonement or forgiveness of sin. In Leviticus chapter 4, verse 15, and the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands on the head of the bull before the Lord. Then the bull shall be killed before the Lord. In other words, the punishment of sin is death. So when the elders lay hand on behalf of the whole congregation, the sin of the whole congregation was imparted into that animal. And because of the sin, that animal will be killed or died on behalf of the whole congregation. Therefore, there is impartation happen on the laying on of hand in the Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, we are living in the New Testament time. There are a few purposes of the laying on of hands in the New Testament church. And one of them is to impart the Holy Spirit or the fire of God or the baptism of the Holy Spirit into the believers. So one of the things that I would like to talk today is about laying on of hand to impart the Holy Spirit or the fire of God or the, we call the baptism with the Spirit and with fire. I'm going to read what happened in the New Testament time, a few incidents here. Let's start with Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. The Bible says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is a situation that happened the first time, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit and the fire of God came upon the disciple, 120 disciples, in the upper room without laying on of hands. It happened spontaneously and suddenly. Look at the second situation here in Acts chapter 8, 14 to 20. The Bible says, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, in other words, the people in Samaria got saved or became born again, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The believers in Samaria only were baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus, but they had not been filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they laid hand on them. Everyone say, Peter and John laid hand on them. Amen. And they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw, everyone say saw. In other words, when Peter and John laid hand on these new believers in Samaria, some physical manifestation happened. Something happened that Simon would able to see that these people received the Holy Spirit. There are physical manifestation of receiving the Holy Spirit, such as speaking in tongue, prophesies, falling under the power, laughter, crying, shaking. There are many physical manifestations, become mute, cannot talk, or people can run very fast by the power of the Holy Spirit. So many things that we mentioned in the Bible, but I will mention about that later on. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostle hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. This man, this guy named Simon, wanted the same power. He wanted to lay hand on people and see the same thing happen, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. So you can see here that in Samaria, the impartation of the Holy Spirit was done by the laying on of hands of the Apostle John and Peter. Look at the third incident here. At that time, Paul went to Ephesus and met some disciples and explained the gospel to them. And eventually they got saved and they were baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ. After that, this happened in Acts chapter 19. They're going to read Acts chapter 19. These people were filled with the Holy Spirit. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, finding some disciple. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So initially, they were disciples of John the Baptist. And they were not baptized in the name of Jesus yet. They were not born again yet. And Paul misunderstood that these people were born again Christians. So he preached the gospel to them. They were born again. They were baptized in water in the name of Jesus. And then what happened? And then Paul had laid hands on them. The Holy Spirit came upon them. And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. You can see here that the third incident here, somebody lay hand on somebody and the Holy Spirit came upon and there was manifestation of the infilling of the Holy Spirit of the or the fire of God. So the third one, laying on of hand. Now look at the life of Paul of Tarsus. In Acts chapter 9 verse 17, you remember Paul of Tarsus was walking on the road to Damascus. And then suddenly the fire or the light from heaven shining from heaven. It was even stronger than the sunshine in noontime in Palestine. Paul fell under the power and the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to him. Then he was led to meet Ananias. And what happened? Acts chapter 9 verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered the house laying his hands, everyone say, laying his hands on him, mean on Paul or Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came, he sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So you can see here that a simple disciple named Ananias, he's not a pastor, he was not an elder of the church, he was not a deacon of the church, he was just a disciple, was used by God to lay hand on the man who will one day become a very great apostle of the whole church history to receive the Holy Spirit or receive the infilling of the fire of God. And what happened? Paul was a changed man afterward. You can see the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the laying on of hand. Look at Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verses 44 to 46. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. Okay, what happened is this. God spoke to Peter in Acts chapter 10 about Cornelius' house. And Cornelius were the giver. He gave money to the poor. He prayed. He was not born again yet. He was seeking God. And God gave both Cornelius and Peter the vision. And eventually Peter went to his house. And he preached the gospel to Cornelius' household. While he was still speaking and preaching, without even laying on of hand, the Holy Spirit fell from heaven, poured out from heaven upon Cornelius and the whole household. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit, or the person of the Holy Spirit, had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. At that time, this incident did not even happen in the church. It happened in the house of Cornelius. The Holy Spirit came down and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke with other tongues. There was a manifestation of the infilling of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. You can see that the book of Acts mentioned about five clear incidents of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And out of these five incidents, three were involved with laying on of hand. Only two, no laying on of hand. And it can happen the same way to you. I remember the testimony of Pastor Da. Pastor Da went to many meetings. When we first moved to the U.S., she came from Catholic background. She did not understand about the Holy Spirit and about the laying on of hand. So she went to the meeting. Many times, people tried to lay hand on her, but nothing happened to her. She was quite frustrated a little bit with God that, God, why nothing happened to me? But she was hungry and hungry and hungry. And she said, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit and with the fire of God. And I remember the story that she was driving her Volkswagen Jetta around the Fremont area in Seattle. While she was driving it, I think that happened in around 1986. She was driving the car and she was crying out to God, God, many people lay hand on me, nothing happened to me. I wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm hungry for you. Suddenly, while she was in the car, the Holy Spirit came upon her. And she began to speak in tongues while she was driving. And she was shaking a little bit because the Holy Spirit, then thank God that she was able to continue to drive. Otherwise, she would get a ticket. So she was filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Her experience different from me. When I was filled with the Holy Spirit the first time, it was 1983. I was kind of okay Christian. I loved God. I went to Baptist church. And one day I went to a meeting in Pattaya, Thailand. Pattaya is a beach area that a lot of tourists like to go. And in that meeting, in the last meeting on Friday morning, the preacher from England asked, who want to serve God, come out here. I was sitting in the back of the room, kind of okay Christian. I was not on fire. I walk out to give my life to God. And I say, God, I'm going to give my life to serve you. Today, I dedicate my life to you. I remember I walk out, the man lay hand on me. This preacher, he's a doctor too. He's an internist from England, from London. He lay hand on me. I was thinking in my heart, God, I want to serve you. I give my life to you. I just say like that. Suddenly, I fell like a waterfall or electricity came upon me. Very fast from the top of my head down to my heart. 1 foot, like this. Suddenly, my mouth opened, and I was speaking in tongue out loud, blah, 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 like this. And I never learned about this before. I never seen the Bible, but I just spoke in tongue. And when my eyes opened, the whole world was changed. It was so bright, and I was on fire since that day. I was so on fire. My preaching was changed. I began to lead so many people to Christ in that city, and my ministry was changed. Since that day on. But I never stopped being filled with the Holy Spirit. I still love to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because that was just the beginning of the ministry. Amen. And even Jesus himself, when he went to the river of Jordan, he was already having the Holy Spirit on the inside of him. But on that day, after he came out from the water, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came down like a dove upon him. And from that day on, miracles happened after miracles. He became a man of blessing. Everywhere he went, healing happened. Demon came out. The wind stopped. He multiplied the bread and the fish. And he performed miracles, raised the dead, and healed the lepers. You can see here that the infilling of the Holy Spirit is important to our Christian walk. And one of the ways that God can give to you is through the laying on of hands. And this trip, I met one of my old friends. She is a pediatrician, a children doctor. She came to our meeting and introduced to me her teenager son. Maybe not teenager, maybe about 21 years old. But he looked very young. And I lay hand on him. Suddenly, he spoke in tongue. He just spoke in tongue. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. The mom was so happy. The mom was so happy to see her son filled with the Holy Spirit that day. You can see here that in the presence of God, when God is moving, and if you open your heart, God can touch you. And again, he will not speak in tongue for you. He will not speak the heavenly language or other tongues for you. You need to speak yourself. But God will give you the language. In Acts chapter 8, verse 18, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given and he offered them money. You can see here that, again, I want to emphasize that when the Holy Spirit came, there's something happened. And one of the basic signs one of the common signs of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. So I want to encourage you, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, and when you get laid hand on and you feel the Holy Spirit come upon you, you just open your mouth and speak, and God going to give you the language. I think the question is this. Will only the apostle or the pastor be able to lay hand for people to receive the Holy Spirit? The answer is no. Any spirit-filled Christian can lay hand on another believer to get that person filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? But you need to be spirit-filled. Empty hand cannot give anything to anybody. You need to have your life full of the Holy Spirit. But any believer, because Ananias, according to the Bible in Acts chapter 9, verse 10, the Bible is called Ananias a certain disciple. He was not a pastor. He was not an elder of the church. He was not an apostle. But he was used by God to touch the life of Paul. And look at the promise in the Bible here in Mark chapter 16, verses 17 to 18. And these signs will follow those who believe. How many people are believers here? Those who believe. How many people are those who believe? Amen. You believe in Jesus? Amen. This sign will follow those who believe. So this is for you. God authorized you to do this, okay? Not only the Bible school graduate, not only the theologian or pastors or people who have title or minister or preacher. Any believer can do this. In my name, in whose name? Jesus' name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And they will drink anything deadly, and it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. I met a very simple member of a local church in Thailand. She came and talked to me. She's a lady. She said, before I came to the service, I just went out to give Christian tract to non-believer. And one lady has cataract. You know cataract? Mean the lens become hazy, clouded. And she said that after I preached the gospel to her, she accepted Christ and lay hand on her. When I pulled my hand out, the eye became open. The cataract was gone. Wow. When I listened to that, I like it. Amen. A simple lady, lay hand, preach the gospel. You know, you need to preach the gospel. You need to want to see signs and wonder happen. Amen. And God can use any one of your hand here to lay hand on the sick and to lay hand on some believer, and they can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. But before we lay hand on people, we need to understand that laying on of hand is not just a ritualistic thing. It's something that we need to do it carefully. Not lightly, not carelessly, because laying on of hand is about impartation between two persons. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22, and I'm going to end the sermon here. 1 Timothy 5, 22, do not lay hands on anyone hastily, nor share in other people's sin. Keep yourself pure. You can see here that Paul gave three warning instructions here. Three warnings. Number one, do not lay hand hastily, even though the context of this scripture is about laying on of hand to ordain somebody or to appoint somebody to be leaders. But if you continue to read this verse, Paul tried to warn us that laying on of hand cannot be done lightly, cannot be done just for fun, just to show off. It's just to do it just without careful consideration. He said, do not share, nor share in other people's sins. And keep yourself pure. In the ordinance of laying on of hand, you need to understand that when you lay hand on somebody, there is an impartation from you to that person. And there can be something back to you. So I want to give you some warning instruction. If you want to practice the laying on of hand, there are two parts of the laying on of hand. The one who receive and the one who lay hand. For me, I will not let some guy that I don't know lay hand on me. If I don't know their life, they're not going to lay hand on me. Amen? Because I don't know, last night he may be watching pornography last night. He may be just kick his wife last night at home, kick his wife and come in the morning and lay hand on me. I don't want that sin. I don't want to share that sin with that person. Because the demon in him can jump into me if I'm a weak Christian. Not only that, you don't want any curse or anything to come upon you by impartation of another person. As a receiver, you need to be careful. You don't let anybody, any Tom and Gary and anybody or somebody walk on the street, and even people from other churches that you don't know their life. You know, I trust all of you here because I know your life. I know you living a holy life. But somebody come in to lay hand on me or lay hand on my wife, hey, take your hand off. I don't want you to lay hand on my wife. I'm sorry. Amen? You need to be careful about laying on of hand. Don't do it lightly. At the same time, if you lay hand on somebody, you need to make sure that you live a holy life. You need to really live a holy life. You need to clean up, repent every day. You need to really be filled with the Holy Spirit all the time. Amen. You need to do everything in the spirit of humility, in the spirit of love, prayer. You need to be guided by God, by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit all the time. And when you lay hand on people, you yourself need to be strong, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon yourself to protect yourself from being attacked by the enemy. I tell you, laying on of hand is very spiritual and is powerful. In fact, I learned something on this trip. When I lay hand on about 1,200 people, about 1,000 people, every time I lay hand on people, I exercise my faith so much. Fire! Every time I lay hand, I exercise my faith and I believe that from heaven, God sent the fire of God upon that person. Fire! Heal! And I have to cast out demon, maybe about 10 people. That big demon, like a lot of demon. I have to go down the floor and just cast them out. I tell you, by Monday, the last service on Sunday, by Monday, I was so exhausted. I couldn't even drink and eat. I was so tired because the energy that I need to hook up to the Holy Spirit, my physical body can handle so much. And the spiritual warfare that happened between my spirit and the Holy Spirit on the inside of me with those demons and with all these curses and bondage that I try to help people to be set free really wear me out big time. You can see here that if you're not strong, if you're not living a holy life, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit and you try to go out and show off, lay hand on people, you can be in trouble. Because there's a spiritual war. There's a fighting out there that you need to be careful. Amen? That's one of the reasons in the public meeting on Sunday morning, not like a care group that you know everybody, we don't allow people to lay hand on each other wily. Because while I'm laying on of hand on people, somebody else sneak in and maybe it's a witchcraft and come and sit in our church and I don't know them. And if I allow everyone to lay hand on anybody, somebody can lay hand on you and then you can get into trouble. So we want to protect new believers here. We want to protect all the people in the church that may not be able to protect themselves in the spirit because they're still weak. Amen? But in the care group or in the close meeting among yourself, you know everyone's life. You can lay hand on each other. That's okay. But in the public meeting with people that you don't know sit around you, you don't want anybody to just lay hand on you. That's the rule that we have in this church, that we want to protect everybody. Amen? Hallelujah. So I want to encourage all of you to live a holy life, to know the Lord, to be walking in humility. And if you can help other young believers to be filled with the Holy Spirit, do it. Lay hand. Get that person filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe that every believer should be filled with the Holy Spirit. Everyone. If you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit, do like what Pastor Da did. Keep pressing in. Keep asking. Because God says, if you keep asking, it will be given to you. If you keep knocking, the door will be open. If you keep seeking, you shall find. Sometimes God doesn't give to you everything one time. He just wants to see that you are seeking, knocking, are serious about the kingdom of God or not. Amen. I want to say this. Everything in our life, if God hasn't answered you right away, don't blame God. Don't get mad at God. Just keep seeking. Keep asking God. Amen. Don't even pull back and say, I'm going to live a life of mediocrity. It's a hard word for me. Mediocrity. I just lay back and I don't want anything more than this. God wants to give you the best. God wants to give you best everything. Amen. Press in. Be committed. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Don't lay back and say, whatever, whatever. The same thing with the Holy Spirit. You want the most you can. You want to be more anointed. You want everything that God wants to give to you by the Holy Spirit. Don't lay back. Don't pull back. Keep pressing in. Amen. I'm praying to God that God is going to give more of the anointing to one day. I just stand on the pulpit and just pray like this. Everyone get healed like Jesus Christ. Because Jesus promises that the work that he did, we will do also. And greater works than that, we will do. So we're going to keep pressing in until we see greater work than Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to see multitudes come to know Jesus Christ. We're going to see people get healed, get saved, get delivered. Amen. But we need to keep pressing in, asking, knocking. Amen. Hallelujah. Focus on the kingdom of God, my brother and sister. To make money, to do the business is a sideline job. Your real job is to serve the Lord. Everyone say, my real profession. My real job is to preach the gospel and build the kingdom of God. My career is just a sideline job to pay my bill. I am a servant of God. I'm going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you the servant of God? You're going to serve God? Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you so much, Lord, for your love, for your word. Lord, I pray that this church will be full of people who are so on fire for the kingdom of God, that they will be so blessed that they can bless the nation. Father, fill them with your power. Fill them with your Holy Spirit, that everywhere they go, the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus Christ will spill off from their life like rivers of living water and touch life around them, Father. Everywhere they go, they shall see blessings. They shall spill the blessings of God, Father. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. I'm not sure any one of you in this room, any one of you in this room have not accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior. I'd like to encourage you, if you never received Christ, if you don't want to pay for the penalty of your own sin, that is death. God said, I died for you on the cross to pay for you. Very simple. You just say, God, I admit that I am a sinner and I want you to forgive me. I want to invite Jesus Christ, your son, to come into my life right now and accept you. Is there anyone in this room that never invite Jesus Christ into your life, never really know Jesus, but you want to accept Christ? Raise your hand up. Raise your hand up. Anyone else? Let me pray with you. Let's pray with me. Pray with me. Father in heaven, I am a sinner. I need your forgiveness, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to pay for my sin. Lord Jesus, you are my Savior. Come into my life right now. I turn away from my sin and give my life to you. In Jesus' mighty name, Amen. Let's give the mighty hand of praises to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.